The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, this Sunday we'll be setting the clocks back an hour as we transition into the typically dark and dreary winter season. But how does the change impact on our sleep cycles? Now, joining me is sleep expert Tom Coleman. Tom, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, it's only an hour. Will that affect us? It's not exactly like jet lag.
Well, the research says it does impact us. Not as bad as when the clocks go forward, but it does have an impact on things like our mood. So there's been a lot of research into this, into depression. There was a 2017 study showing an 11% increase in depressive disorders, which took about 10 weeks to dissipate.
So we're very sensitive. That when you lose the hour, as it were, rather than when you gain the hour?
Well, we're gaining the hour, but we're actually taking an hour of light from the evening and tacking it onto the morning. So we're losing light, but we're gaining some time. Now, we'll only gain it, Pat, if we actually manage to sleep in for the extra hour.
Okay. And you think that we'll wake up at the same time anyway?
There is a tendency.
Biological clock will still be waking you, whatever that time is. So whether it's 5, 6, or 7 in the morning,
correct,
you'll wake up at the new time, biologically, the same time as the
other. Biologically, we'll generally wake up. Now, we can make a gradual change to that. And there are things that we can do which might push our wake time forward by 20 or 30 minutes. Things like exercise. So when we expend energy, that increases sleep pressure, okay? So that might hold us in sleep for a little bit longer. Or maybe we have a little bit more light a little bit later in the afternoon and evening time, and that may push our biological clocks forward.
I mean, you're being a bit of a spoiled sport here, you know, because when the spring comes and it goes the other way, we all groan and moan about getting up that hour earlier. But I mean, for me, when I am waking up on the first couple of weeks of this, I'll probably wake up at the same time, which would be sometime around 5:30 in the morning, and I'll think, I have another hour.
Right.
Bliss. Back to sleep for an hour.
It does depend on the view, because some people may find pressurized then to fall back asleep. So it does depend on how you view it.
Now, talk to me about light and sleep, because there are some people who cannot go to sleep if there's a glimmer of light in the room. And we know that creatures, you know, be they our pets or people, you know, in the wild, they are governed by light and dark. So as far as they're concerned, the hour doesn't make any difference.
Doesn't make any difference. That's our societal clock.
Yeah.
So light is exceptionally powerful. And the more light we get during the day, the better we'd sleep at night. And our mothers used to tell us that was the fresh air, get outside, right?
So that's what's happening. It's we're getting more sunlight and our eyes detect this.
They do, and that informs the timer, but it increases serotonin levels, natural light. And serotonin is a precursor for the sleep hormone melatonin. So we needed to make melatonin.
So somebody who's sitting in the office all day, that may be the reason that they don't get a good night's sleep, because they haven't been out and about.
Absolutely correct. So we need to send a strong signal. And in wintertime, we're losing that light. Now, we can get artificial light. We can get things like a light box and plug that in, and that will help to a certain degree.
And those light boxes, can you therefore control your night's sleep if you get one of these timed light boxes? I know years ago, Philips Electronics brought out a thing that gradually created a dawn in your bedroom.
Yeah, it's a much better way to wake up rather than the
buzzing shrill alarm.
Yes, absolutely. And that might raise the cortisol levels, give us a fright. But yes, I mean, all of us are governed essentially by light. It's the most powerful lever of your circadian rhythm, of your body clock.
So would it work the same in reverse then, if you could, you know, have something that dimmed slowly? You're lying there trying to get a night's sleep and the lights in the room slowly start to dim.
Yeah.
Would that be a signal to you, it's time to shut eye?
Exactly. We have specific light receptors for specific light frequencies in the back of our retina, discovered by Professor Russell Foster in Oxford University. So light really does mediate in different light frequencies. So that evening light would have a certain signature, and that is again a signal to the brain to wind down and relax.
What is the impact of not getting a good night's sleep?
Oof, it impacts our hormone levels, so our ghrelin levels will be higher, the hunger hormone. It impacts our immune response. So we mediate our inflammation. It mediates our ability to repair psychologically. We have our brain cleaning itself every night. All of these, it's very powerful. So we really must prioritise our sleep.
And what's a good night's sleep? Or does it vary from person to person?
It does vary. Generally, it's 7 to 8 hours. Some people are fine on 6 hours. Four 90-minute cycles. So it does depend on the person, but we want to try and do as much as we can to promote that.
Now, I would say I'm a night person. I'm really alert at night when I should be going to bed. I want to watch more on the news on the telly or whatever it is. And in the morning, I have to force myself out of bed. But I do, as I've learned, that if you respond to the first alarm, not the first of three in my case, get out of bed and, and you're up and doing. So people who are night people versus day people?
Yeah, so that's your chronotype. That can be determined by genetics. We've 9 different genes called clock genes, which may influence your chronotype. We can still retrain ourselves, but we have to mind our energy. It's about energy management throughout the day for different types. And it would depend on your job too, the nature of your job.
Is there anything that can be done to reduce being kept up at night coughing when you have a cough?
I suppose I would look at the room, the ventilation. Why are we coughing? Maybe we can get one of these devices that emit salt, which help reduce the moisture in our lungs. That might help. Certainly we have to sort out the coughing issue if it's interfering with our sleep.
I'm a heavy snorer, have been for years. 30-year-old fit male here. I don't smoke. Someone told me there's an issue with my nose. They can hear it when I breathe. One of my nostrils must be smaller and air isn't coming through correctly. They said I should get it operated on.
Yeah.
Could that be true?
Absolutely. Deviated septum. I mean, why we snore is a problem with the airway. Partial blockage. So we must open out the airway. There's many ways to do that. Surgery is certainly an option for that person if they have a deviated septum. Okay.
And if the pals are saying, look, this is very obvious.
Yes, absolutely.
Another one. Several times a night, I wake myself up from my own snoring. So loud he wakes himself up. As it seems, the breathing gets almost blocked. It has worsened in recent years. And then I'm very tired the next day. Any suggestions?
Yeah, I would look at that. I would even think about getting tested for something like sleep apnea. The snoring could be indicative of that. We could get a mouth brace, which would hold the tongue or the jaw, stop that from sliding back, which would keep the airway open. Otherwise, we're looking at lifestyle changes or maybe surgery.
I've recently been diagnosed with severe sleep apnea and I'm on a CPAP machine for the next 2 months. Have you any advice?
Stay on the CPAP machine. Sleep apnea can be dangerous. It can lead to higher blood pressure and things like that. See how you get on with the CPAP machine. And there could be an option of a surgery, hypoglossal nerve stimulation. That's another option. But see how you go with the CPAP.
And what about Botox? Have you heard of the use of Botox to do something to them? That people are maybe grinding their teeth and it stops them doing that and therefore may reduce the snoring.
It is an option. It would just stop the muscles working for the teeth grinding. But I'd look at all the other modifiable lifestyle factors that you can look at.
Can you ask your expert if there's any truth in the fact that a daily dose of magnesium biglycinate improves quality of sleep? That's from Greg in Sutton.
Correct. It does work by calming the nervous system. It helps nerve impulse. And many of these things that help our sleep, they do it indirectly by calming the nervous system. So magnesium in its biglycinate form can really help that.
I use scheduled Philips Hue lights to gradually brighten my bedroom in the morning rather than an alarm clock. It's infinitely a more pleasant way to wake up. That's what we were talking about earlier. Now, what about people who find it difficult to go to sleep? They want to sleep, they feel knackered, but they're anxious and they're running through all the decisions they have to make and their plans for the next day and what happened that day. How do you cope with that? How do you clear your mind of those?
What we need to do is give the mind something to do. Otherwise, it will naturally gravitate towards that, because as humans, you know, we're hardwired to worry. We can look into the future and predict danger, and that has served us very well from an evolutionary perspective. So unless we give the mind some cognitive chewing gum, a visualization technique, imagine you're on holiday or you're going for a trek in the mountain, we need to and decompress from the day. And a journaling is a great way to do that. And a great way to reduce anxiety is to ask yourself one question every night. What did I do today that was good for me? So it's a proven technique to reduce anxiety.
And if the answer is absolutely nothing.
Oh, that's then you need to look at that. Yeah.
Yeah. And the question of reading, a number of people want to know, is reading before bedtime. We're always told that screens are not good for us before bedtime. But reading before bedtime, and it might be on a Kindle, which is a screen.
It is, but see, it's what we're doing on the screens. It's the scrolling which is highly disruptive to sleep. The reading is very good. It's providing that cognitive chewing gum and help relaxing and shutting down that prefrontal cortex, the planning. So yeah, reading is exceptional. Very good.
Another one from Cahill and Rathmine says, the new treatment for sleep apnea is Ozempic. 50% can get rid of the BiPAP machines if they use Ozempic. This is basically reducing the amount of fat all around the place, which may reduce the sleep apnea.
Well, absolutely. It's the tissues that will build up. And we see that with menopausal women who suddenly catch up on men when it comes to snoring due to the fat deposits and storage around the neck.
Okay.
So anything that will reduce that.
Another one says the mouth brace works very well for snoring and sleep apnea.
There we go.
For
mouth
some,
brace.
Some
yes,
it will,
yes, for some it will, or even mouth taping.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for answering all of those questions. Tom Coleman, who is a sleep expert, and that's all we've time for. A reminder that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On Newstalk.